I'm going to read a scripture to start us out on our study here this morning. Praise the Lord if you want to follow along. In fact, as we read these first two scriptures, let's stand together as we read. We're going to read from Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Acts 20, 24. And I am reading from the New King James Version. Most of you are going to be reading from the King James Version. So as we stand and read together, praise the Lord. In fact, why don't we just read Acts 20:24 together as we begin our study here this morning. Praise God. Acts 20:24. Praise the Lord. Here we go. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. In the New King James, it says that I may finish the race, finish the course that God set us on, the course that we all have to run. We are in a race. Amen. Paul uses this comparison to life, that we're in a race. Some of us don't want to admit it. Some of us don't want to realize it. Be aware of it, but the facts are, we're in a race. If Paul's in a race, then we're in a race. We're on a course that God has set before us. Paul goes on to say in Philippians 2:16, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may rejoice that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. I don't want my course of life to be in vain. I don't want to run in vain. It's one thing to realize we're in a race. It's one thing to be on course of a life. But the most important thing is that we finish the race. So today I want to talk about finishing the race. May we all, with Paul, be able to say, as he said, may I finish the race with joy. Finish the race with joy. Hallelujah. To use some sports comparisons, some of you may be sports fans. I think most of us would agree that we're probably at least in the second half of the millennium, of the age that God's given us. Jesus is coming soon. More than likely, we're in the fourth quarter. And for some of us, and for many of us, and maybe for all of us, we're probably in the bottom of the ninth inning. We get one more chance to bat. We're in a race, folks. God has begun a work in me, and if all of you are honest, God's begun a work in you. God has a plan for you. He has a race for you to run, and more importantly, we need to finish the race. In America, it seems that we like to start a lot of things. It's easy to get started. It's easy to talk about things. It's easy to say we're going to do something, but we need to finish the race. We're in a race. You and I, in the light of eternity, even in the light of the known age for the last 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years, This is a short journey. It's very short. I'm now 66 years old, and it's getting real short. And I know some of you are much younger. You're in your 20s and your 30s, and you don't realize it. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible says, the psalmist says, count your days. It's short. It goes by fast. I sell life insurance, and I tell people when I meet them, where'd the last 10 years go? And they all look at me and they go, whoa, you're right. Where did they go? Now the children are growing up. Now the grandchildren are here. It's going fast. Let's determine now, while we're in the race, I feel the most important thing we can do to be aware of is the need to finish the race. If we don't have that mindset while we're in the race, while we're here on earth, while we have an opportunity, that we have a finish, we need to finish the race. What did that song say, Steve, that angel band, I'm in a race and I'm getting close to, the course is almost run. I didn't know that phrase was in there. The Apostle Paul finished the race. Amidst shipwrecks, hardships, delays, jail time, disappointments, and many leaving him. And yet he was able to say, I finished the race. The thief on the cross didn't have far to go, but he finished the race. He realized all of a sudden, I'm in a race for eternity. I'm in a race to get to where Jesus is, to the eternal blessing. And I better get on course. And he did, by God's grace, and finished it. But if you read this book through and through, there's an awful lot that got distracted. Solomon got distracted by women. Didn't finish the race. Philippians 3, 12 through 15 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as be mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. We need a mindset now that we need to get in the race and finish the race. Now, I know it's important to get in the race. We got to get saved. But there's an awful lot of people saying, I'm saved, and they're not in the race. They're not going anywhere. My concern is today, I want to know people that are finishing the race. I want to be at the end. I want to be at the finish line. I want to be seeing those people crossing the line. I want to finish the race. It's by God's grace and mercy I got in the race. 1978, my life changed dramatically. My brother was getting married in Texas, and I headed to Texas. My wife and I, we just started new jobs, and we were able to get off, and I started the race. Driving to Texas, had big plans, had big goals in life, had just started a new job as a newspaper photographer, was involved in the environmental movement, thought I could save the world. I was going to go to my brother's wedding in Texas. Didn't think a whole lot of it. Just thought, well, this would be a wonderful opportunity to be with my mom and dad and my family. And my wife and I drove straight through. We were young. We were in our 20s. Got in the race. Drove straight through to Killeen, Texas, Fort Hood area. And got there at midnight. Had a wonderful time. And my brother said to me, in the midst of getting married, my brother handed me a cassette tape and said, this man of God came to my church in West Virginia and gave a life testimony that is pretty dramatic, pretty unbelievable. He says, you need to listen to this tape, you and your wife. I think it might help you a little bit. He says, I was just shocked and inspired and wonder. And I plugged that tape in coming home from Texas. It was the life story of this man sitting right here on the front row and his deliverance from the Holocaust. And I'm sitting there listening to that. And I looked at my wife and I says, I think we're going to have to go hear this man in person. I was living in Logansport, Indiana. And by God's grace, I'm still in the race. Get in the race. What's it mean to run a race? What's it mean to get moving? To pursue something, to continue, to move toward a goal. Running implies that we're moving towards something. We're moving toward a prize. We're moving toward eternity. We're moving in the will of God. We're in a race. You know, there was a famous basketball player, and someone says, But Charles Barkley, you're a role model. Why do you do these goofy things? He said, no, I'm not a role model. I'm not a role model. Yes, we are. We're all role models. And we're all in a race. We're all in it. And people are watching. There's a crowd of witnesses watching. We're in a race. How do we run this race? How shall we run the race that God set before us? In Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy... We're hearing an awful lot of joy. Every verse I've read has for the joy. Rejoicing for the joy. There's that word again, for the joy. Paul said it earlier. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus did, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We run the race with patience. Okay? We run with patience. That means we pace ourselves. That means we don't run ahead of God and we don't lag behind. We run with patience. There's a pace to be set. I haven't been involved in a lot of competition races, but both my sons ran track and cross country in high school, and I went to watch them. Some of you have run before, and you know what I'm talking about. When you're running long distance, you have to be on pace, don't you? When you're running 2 miles or a 5K or a marathon, you have to pace yourself. I was talking to my oldest son, who's in the military, he's in the Army. What's that called? You call it? It's called a rut hike. Ruck march. They do a ruck march. Okay? They put on their armor. It's about 20 pounds. They carry their weapons. They put on a backpack. And all in all, you're carrying roughly how much? 80, did you say? 80 pounds. And you're going to do about 12 miles. And they're going to time you. And Ben was telling me, some of the guys were debating, well, should we literally run? And the general consensus was, you're getting a little above the pace. He said they walk at a very fast pace, and Ben said they would almost not quite run, but really walk fast, and then they would walk a little slower, but you had to pace yourself in that kind of march. Praise God. It's not jumping ahead. It's not jumping way behind. Patience gives us the confidence that we're staying on course and that we're staying on pace. Patience is built upon the confidence that we have in Jesus Christ and His will for our lives. Because if you don't have that confidence, if you don't know that you're in Jesus, that you're in His race and in His will, you're going to get off pace. Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let me draw near with a true heart, with full assurance of faith." That's a confidence. Confidence and assurance are the same thing. "Sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." There's a confidence and assurance that we have through the Holy Spirit that when we run this race with patience, God's running with us. We stay on course. We don't get impatient with ourselves. That's my tendency. My tendency is I think I'm not running fast enough. I think I'm failing. And I get impatient. And then I just get all confused about where I'm going. You ever do that? You just kind of, you get impatient with yourself. Oh, I'm not measuring up. How about we get a little impatient with others around us? Zoom, they zip by us or they're falling way behind us. Oh, why don't that guy way behind me get in the race? No. Your patience is looking ahead. It's not getting impatient with what other people are doing. Don't get impatient with anything. Don't make it too complicated. Just be patient. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27 says, Paul writing again, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the hair, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." One of the ways that we run this race that God set for each and every one of us is you better run with persistence. By all means and by any means, you better persist in what God has called you to do. Get in the race and stay with it. Don't get off course. Don't allow yourself to be sidetracked or distracted. There's a persistence that's needed when you run a race. We need to face forward. We need to not stop. Put on some blinders if you need to. Because there's an awful lot of seemingly good things all around us that distract us from the race. Anytime you're in a race, just try to go to prayer. I was here in the building trying to pray this morning for this service and for myself. And I'm telling you what, I wanted to look outside at the beautiful weather. I got distracted by some little pieces of lint on the floor. After a while, I just, "Devil, get out of here. I am here to praise God and pray." I mean, it's easy to get distracted. There's that persistence needed in our walk with God. I mean, a persistence to run this race. I mean, we got to stay with it. My other son, John, decided he was going to run a marathon. And he had run a lot of 5Ks and stuff, but he ran a marathon. And I've heard this from other people. Maybe anyone run a marathon in here? Praise the Lord. Marathons are 26 miles. You've got to be patient and you've got to be persistent. But talk to anyone who runs marathons. John's father-in-law runs marathons quite often. He said the same thing. There's something that happens. John said it happened to him at about mile 20 or mile 21. You still got another 5K to go or more, and you're dead tired. I mean, he said, it's like you hit a brick wall. And every marathon runner I've ever talked to said the same thing. You hit about that two-thirds, and you just, like, everything locks up. He said he was almost kind of like delirious, but he said he almost slowed down to a walk in this marathon for a while just to kind of get his senses back. But he said once he broke through it, he kept going mile 20, mile 21, 22, and he said, boom, he just felt totally different. It was like you just moved through something. It's called persistence. It's called staying the course. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31 says, He, God, giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Run with patience. Run with perseverance. In Habakkuk 2:2, And the Lord answered me and said, Write a vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. When you're running, you better know you have a purpose. You need a purpose. When you have a vision of what God's will is for your life, for eternity, and what God has ordained, and it's all good. It's not bad. God's will is the perfect will of God. In America, it surprises me. Doesn't this comment ever surprise you? You meet people and they talk about the kids or the grandkids. You probably already know what I'm going to say. Oh, I just want them to be happy. Oh, I just want the best for them. I just want them to be happy. I'm going, what? What in the world does that mean? I just want them to be happy. Have a wonderful time. No, we need a purpose in America. We got so many people running around trying to be happy. They don't know where they're going or what they're here for. Amen. We need a purpose. We need to know that Jesus Christ is going to reign. He's reigning now and He's going to reign in eternity. And this is a short race. This is barely a marathon. It's going to be over and it's going to be over fast. We need to run like we mean it. We need to run knowing that we're determined to finish this thing. We need to get a vision of Jesus. We need to get a vision of the grace He has. We need to get a vision of the salvation and the mercy that He's given us and the privileges we have to live in America. Here we are in the greatest land with the freedom, the greatest prosperity, and people are running around with no purposes. They're hanging around saying, oh, I need to go to this party. I need that party. They have no purpose whatsoever in life. We need to run with a purpose. And that purpose is to get in God's will for your life. If you don't know exactly what God wants for you, get behind a man of God that does know.
Amen.
Get around someone who loves Jesus and hang out with him. Run the race with him for a while. We've been so privileged to have Pastor Schultz in our lives, and now to have Pastor Nikki. Many of you have friends and neighbors and mothers and fathers that have run this race. Read the books of great men of God that have run the race. Reverend Morgan, Reverend Helm. People that are still living. Pace yourself. Run the race and find out what it's all about. But you got to have a purpose when you're running a race, because you won't finish it. You'll get off track. If you don't persist, you don't pace yourself, and you don't run with purpose. I'm thankful I've been around a lot of people that had purpose in their life. I've been around a mom and a dad that's determined that the only thing important to them was to be in church. Every time the doors were open, they were in church, and to be in prayer every day, and to be in family devotions every night. I was privileged to be raised in that type of atmosphere. Now, I rejected it for a while, but by God's grace, I found it in 1978, and I've endeavored to walk in that same privilege. I remember that my mother was a endeavor to pray, and God would lay things on her heart. One time, I was working in West Virginia, and I had driven down to Kentucky to work, and our two sons were at my mom's house, and their three cousins were there. And I'm off working someone. And I come back from work, and my mom looks at me and says, "What were you doing at 2 o'clock this afternoon?" Because I felt the need for prayer. And I gathered up your two sons and their three first cousins, and we had a prayer meeting in the middle of the afternoon because she felt something in her heart. I says, "Well, that's pretty interesting." Because at 2 o'clock this afternoon, the rain was pouring down. I was driving down a 4-lane highway, and a car's coming at me, 55 miles an hour, goes into a donut, and is ready, flips up on two tires, and is at an angle. I'm going this way, car's coming this way, and it's at an angle, left two wheels, had already done a donut, and was going to flip over on top of me. It all happens in a split second. And I could see the man in the car, and all of a sudden that car just went back down on its two wheels. I went on down the road, and he was able to just continue down the road. That's someone who has purpose, who wants to have the goodness of God bestowed upon other people. See what happens when we run a race with purpose? Other people begin to benefit. Other people are inspired. Oh my goodness, look at him running that race, walking with God. And people get inspired. Which brings me to another thing we need when we run a race. It's called prayer. If you're in a race, you better be praying. You better be getting ready. You better be determining what you need to do. In 2 Corinthians 5:16, it says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." Everything we do needs to be blanketed with rejoicing, encased in prayer, and a lot of thanksgiving. Rejoicing in thanksgiving. Now, I need to hear this. I need to hear this a lot. Because I tell you what, we're such a complaining, nagging, murmuring people. We go down the roads, here we are, living in the most prosperous, wonderful, most beneficial country, and next thing we know, oh, I wish the temperature was just a couple degrees warmer. I mean, come on! Are we rejoicing in all things? I wish that guy wouldn't have hesitated so long at the four-way stop sign. Doesn't that just ever bother you? You have four people pull up to the stop sign and everybody just waits for everybody else. Next thing you know, you're complaining about it. We need a lot of prayer and a lot of rejoicing. It's called the basics. When you're running a race, you have to prepare yourself. You have to train. And the training we have in the race called life is rejoicing. It's called praying. It's called giving thanks. It's called being in the will of God. If you're in a race, you've got to keep a positive attitude. You ever watched a race and you know these guys, they cannot tense up. Because there's this thing called adrenaline and this thing called something, chemicals in your body. And if you tense up, it affects all your muscles. Isn't it a marvel how it does that? You just got to stay loose. They say that all the time. You just got to stay loose. Just relax. Just have fun. They say that in sports a lot, don't they? Because if you tense up, it just, there's no running. There's no racing. It just, it hurts. And that's called positive attitude. You got to have rejoicing and prayer. Got to be singing along the way in this race that we have.
Amen.
In this race, which is so short, Jesus is going to be with us. He's going to run the race for us. As we praise Him and we pray, the aches and the pains and the disappointment of life are going to fall off.
Amen.
If we stay focused in our race toward Jesus, we're going to forget all these little things. Jesus is going to be there. You know, He died praying. He died forgiving. He Himself ran the race and finished. In fact, He said, "It's finished." He crossed that finish line. 2 Timothy 4:7, 8 says, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith." And in Hebrews, Paul also says in Hebrews 10:36, "For ye have need of patience, that ye have done the will of God, that ye, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." I want to challenge you to run the race for the promise.
Amen.
Run the race with patience. Run the race persevering. Run the race with purpose. Run it in prayer. But remember, there's a promise. A lot of promises. We should put an S on it. There's promises. 2 Timothy 4:8, "Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." There's a promise, a crown of righteousness, an eternal life to be gained in running this race. There's a prize to finish the race, to see all the loved ones that we want to see again, to be together with God and the saints. It's going to be worth it all. It's worth it now, and it's worth it even more beyond comprehension what it's going to be worth when we run this race, when we run for the promises. Remember I told you that my son John was running a marathon. He finished, and he finished fairly well, but it was an open marathon, which means they have a lot of different classes. They have the older ones, and they have the fit ones, and they all crowd around at the beginning. But we were at the finish line, and this particular marathon, they allowed young and old and handicapped and different ones to run. And we stood there at the finish line, and I just started getting stirred up because there started coming people across the finish line that I was going, my wife, I was going, "Wow, that guy finished the race. Wow, look at that woman. She finished the race." I mean, there was some older people, some out of shape people, some handicapped people. And I mean, there was some people walking. I mean, it was one of those, and they were just doing it to say, "I did a marathon." And they walked it. I mean, they didn't do it in the 3 hours. They did it in 6 hours or seven, but they were still coming. They were crossing the line. They wanted to cross that line and get that little prize. I finished the marathon. And I'm telling you, I was stirred up. Watch them. I mean, there was all kinds of people. I was like, wow, this is interesting. Anybody should be able to run a marathon. We are in a race for eternity. We're in a race that we need to finish. We were privileged to know a great man of God by the name of Reverend Roundtree. He pastored several churches, one in St. Louis, was involved at Jim Wright's church in Maranatha in West Virginia, and I think he finished at Parisburg, Virginia. His wife has written a book about being healed from cancer. It's in her library. Blanche Roundtree. He finished a race. He finished a race with glory. He was sitting in church in a prayer meeting. And he was just sitting there at the pew, and they all looked over at him. And he was done going. He was going to glory. Finished the race. God will help you know what your purposes are. God will help you realize what the promises are. God will lead you and help you finish this race. But you got to get in it, you got to stay in it, and you got to decide now. There's no deciding tomorrow. There's no saying, well, I'm in it, I started it. No, you got to decide you're in the finishing business now. You got to finish. Because if you don't decide now to finish, you're going to be sidetracked along the way. So like Christ, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. May we join Him at the right hand of the throne of God when we finish the race.